Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Live with Rachel podcast. I'm Rachel, and today we're going to be continuing our study through the book of Romans. And in particular today, we're going to be reading through Romans chapter 15, verses 8 to 24. So just to recap, we just finished the first seven verses of Romans chapter 15, and it was all about self-denial on behalf of other people, or in other words, pleasing others instead of ourselves. And in the section that we'll be going through today, we'll be looking at two different ministries. And in the next episode, we'll be covering two more ministries. So four ministries in total for this episode and the next one. The first two that we're going to cover today are Jesus' ministry and Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. So let's get right into it and start reading verses 8 to 24. I'll be reading in the New Living Translation, and it says this. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises to your name." And in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present to you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures, where it says, "Those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand." In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. So this was a really long section, so we'll break it down piece by piece first. So first of all, let's talk about Jesus' ministry to the Gentiles, which was mentioned between verses 8 and 13. Jesus came first of all to minister to the Jews, and that through that, through Israel, he might be able to minister to the Gentiles. John the Baptist came to minister to the nation of Israel to prepare them for their Savior. And then when Jesus started his ministry, it was only to the people of Israel. And then when he sent out the apostles on their first evangelistic mission, he told them, "Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep." Now, this doesn't mean that he ignored individual Gentiles, because he did minister and help a few of them. But his major emphasis was on the nation of Israel. After Jesus' resurrection, he commanded the apostles to remain in Jerusalem and begin their ministry there. This time period was actually covered in the book of Acts between chapters 1 and 7, and this was characterized by a ministry only to the Jews or to Jewish proselytes. It actually wasn't until Acts chapter 8 that the good news of Jesus actually went to the Samaritans. And then in Acts chapter 10, it went to the Gentiles. Then through Paul's ministry, it went throughout the Roman Empire. As we've covered in previous episodes, the Old Testament period, God chose the nation of Israel to be a minister to the Gentiles. But instead, Israel copied the idolatrous ways of the Gentiles and had to be disciplined by God. In the New Testament period, God chose Jewish believers to carry the good news to the Gentiles, and they listened to him. The word trust at the end of Romans chapter 15, verse 12, is actually the word for hope. And at one time, the Gentiles were without hope. But now, in Jesus, they do have hope. Not only do believing Christians have hope now, but they also have joy, peace, and power. The Holy Spirit actually shares these blessings with them as they yield to Him and allow Him to work in their lives daily. Because of the first Jewish Christians that were faithful to take the good news to the Gentiles, the nations of the world today, in our time, have the opportunity to trust Jesus as their savior. All right, second of all, let's talk about Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. And he started this from verse 14 onwards. I think it's also really important to say that unless we understand the distinctive ministry that Paul did, we will never really fully appreciate the message of God's grace, because Paul did so much. And I don't think we tend to realize that when we first get into the word. We just tend to think that the Bible was written by a few people here and there, but Paul had the biggest influence in the New Testament. And Paul here actually explains the characteristics of his ministry. So let's get right into that. The first being that it was received by grace. When Paul was still Saul of Tarsus, he didn't really know a lot about the grace of God. You can actually read all about his story in the book of Acts. And if you do read it, you'll see that he persecuted the church and he wanted to destroy it. But when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he experienced the grace of God and was transformed and was now named Paul. It was God's grace that saved him, and it was God's grace that called him and made him an apostle. The second characteristic was that it was centered in the gospel, which is also known as the good news. Paul saw himself as some kind of priest at the altar, offering to God the Gentiles he had won to Jesus. Even his preaching to them was known as an acceptable offering to God. And viewing this ministry in this way definitely adds dignity and responsibility to our service to God. Especially because in those days, it was really important for the priests to offer to God only the best of the best. And in fact, we should always remember that soul winning, or another word for this would be evangelism or witnessing, is a really sacred obligation. As Christians, we get to do this. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. And we get to do this because we lovingly want to serve God, because we admire Him and we love Him and we're devoted to Him, just like how a priest would have done in God's temple in those days. The third characteristic is that it was done for God's glory. So I want to reread verse 17 again. It says, "So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God." If you're reading in another translation, like the New International Version, it says, "Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God." So you get the idea from the words glory or be enthusiastic that this is something to take pride in, to boast about, but not in a selfish way, because Paul wasn't bragging. He was boasting in what had God done. He didn't serve and suffer as he did just to make a name for himself, but he had actually had a huge and more higher purpose in mind. He wanted to bring glory to Jesus. Moving on, the fourth characteristic was that it was done by God's power. He says in verse 19 that all of these signs and wonders were done by the power of God's Spirit, and its purpose was to open the way for the preaching of the good news. Miracles alone can't ever really save people. And this is evidenced by when Paul healed the crippled man at Lystra in Acts chapter 14. The immediate response when he did that was a pagan one. The people called Paul and his friend Barnabas gods, and they tried to worship them. And when Paul tried to share the good news of Jesus, they didn't actually respond very enthusiastically. The people actually threw stones at Paul and left him for dead outside of the city walls. God's Spirit empowered Paul to share God's word, and the purpose was to bring the Gentiles to God, to lead them to Him. And now lastly, the final characteristic was that it was all done according to God's plan. As we know, God has a special plan for each and every one of our lives. And here, God had a special plan for Paul to follow. He wasn't to preach where other apostles had already ministered to. He even says in verse 19, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, which Illyricum was a Roman province for a while on the eastern shore of the Adriatic Sea near Croatia today, which was a very, very great distance if you look it up on Google Maps. Especially when you consider how slow they used to travel back then and the dangers that were involved. So surely you can appreciate the amazing achievement of Paul's missionary ministry. He was so faithful in the evangelistic outreach that he was able to say that he had no more places to minister to in those parts of the world. Now, he's not saying that he reached every single person individually, but essentially he took the gospel and left behind witnessing churches and Christians who he knew could carry on the work. He finished one job before starting another, which is a very good example for all of us to follow in our ministry work as well. He then ends a section when discussing his travel plans to visit Rome and then Spain, And that's pretty much the end of the section. In case it wasn't very clear, the whole purpose of this section, and also the next section, which we'll cover in the next episode, is to emphasize just how universal the gospel message is and how committed we as Christians should all be to telling everyone about Jesus and how we are really stronger together. We need people. We carry the best news in the world, and our love for others who haven't heard it should propel us to do so. And that's where I'm going to leave it for today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope you learned something. And next time we'll be covering the last part of chapter 15 and also the rest of chapter 16. So I guess the next episode is finally the last episode of our Roman study. And I've said it before, but if you've joined me for this whole time, I just wanted to say a huge, huge thank you for sticking with the podcast all this time. The next topic I'll be covering will be on wisdom, making ethical and moral decisions, and all things in that area for a bit. So I'll hope you enjoy that. It'll probably only go for 3 or 4 episodes, but then I'll move on to other topics. But I hope that you'll like it. But if there's anything that you guys want me to cover, whether it's another study or a topic of some kind or another book, please let me know either through Instagram or Facebook. And the links will be below in the description for you to do that. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Bye, everyone.